friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The energetic Andy Edwards is catching up with some of Africa's greatest long-distance runners ahead of Sunday's London Marathon. During Thursday's show, Andy interviewed Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge and defending London champion Daniel Wanjiru, both from Kenya. Energetic Andy is once again showing us his deceptive speed, catching up with a world record holder and three-time Olympic champion from Ethiopia. Here's Andy.
Kenenisa Bekele, the great man from Ethiopia, chased Daniel Wanjiru of Kenya to the line in London in 2017, and he's back. And of course, Kenenisa has had some wonderful achievements in the marathon. Just thinking about last year's race, are you determined? Are you in the kind of shape to perhaps to be the one who's being chased to the line and to win your first London title?
Really was. I know last year was great race, but I couldn't make it. But really, before the race, 3 weeks, 1 month before, I was sick a little bit for 1 week. So I missed some trainings. Also, you know, my energy, my power going down.
And now, for this year's race, is everything gone well?
Yes, everything going well. I prepared well. You know, I'm really happy how my training going.
You've won so much: Olympic titles, world records, world cross countries, of course. Is the motivation harder to find? Of course, you're still, you know, up there amongst the best. But is it harder because you've been doing this for a long time?
It's not harder. Just if you plan something, if you have a target, you know, to do something, to achieve. It's motivating, you know, but I have a motivation every time. So my motivation not going down. But of course, even if the marathon training is a little bit boring and very challenging, so I'm motivated a lot because I have a goal, you know, to do something. So thinking future and of course, motivating myself, you know.
Kenenisa, all the best for Sunday's race in London. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out my Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Daniel Wanjiru and Eliud Kipchoge in front of the Tower Bridge in London. As I mentioned earlier, Daniel is the defending men's champion in Sunday's London Marathon, while Eliud is the reigning Olympic champion at the marathon distance. And a couple of their fans and Kenyan countrymen checked in at my Facebook page. Endara Mariera writes from Kisi, Kenya. Endara sends sporty greetings to yours truly and my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden, who we'll hear from a little later in the show. And Dara also says hello to all our Voice of America listeners, and he wishes the Kenyan athletes and all participants a great race in Sunday's London Marathon. Dennis Denzel Kimenzi writes from Mombasa, Kenya. Dennis says all the best to his Kenyan countrymen on Sunday, and Dennis adds London is shaping up as one of the most competitive marathons in athletics history. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Local favorite Paula Radcliffe of Britain set the women's world record of 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 25 seconds at the 2003 London Marathon. Speaking in the British capital Friday, Paula says she's surprised she's still the women's world record holder.
I never thought that it would stand for 15 years. I can remember when I crossed the line, I can remember seeing Dave Bedford at the end, and he was saying, oh, I'm not going to see that beaten for a while. And I thought I could beat it at that point. I thought I could still improve on it. And the marathon's very much about what getting it right on the day. And how that pans out. You need good conditions, you need to have obviously done the training and be in shape, and you need a little bit of luck on the day as well. But yeah, the longer it's gone on, obviously the more attached I've become to it, and it's started to feel a little bit like part of the family. But it's inevitable it's going to get beaten at some point. And I think this last year, the way that Mary ran, I thought for a lot of that race that it was under threat. And so I think she's capable. I think first and foremost, though, she has to concentrate on running the race, winning the race, because very much I think she has a race on her hands against Tirunesh Dibaba, and Tirunesh is equally capable of taking the time. So I don't think we should talk about it just as Mary Keitany going after it. I think it's the both of them.
Paula Radcliffe also reflects on her world record run 15 years ago.
I've worked very, very hard for that, and I ran it clean, and I'm proud of that, and I will always know that. So it wouldn't make me feel vindicated. And it's like Catch-22. People say, if they beat your time, then that'll mean that you're vindicated. But I was never guilty of anything in the first place, and I would. If you say, would I rather keep my record? And people are always going to say things. People are always going to try and accuse of things. So I wouldn't swap my record for that in the same way that I wouldn't swap my record for an Olympic gold. It is what it is. I worked very hard for it. I'm very proud of it.
That's Paula Radcliffe commenting Friday on her marathon world record in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The energetic Andy Edwards also spoke with the defending champion in the elite women's wheelchair race ahead of Sunday's London Marathon. Once again, here's Andy.
Well, looking at the elite competition in the wheelchairs, the winner in the women's race last year, Manuela Scher of Switzerland, and we'll be talking a bit about the Swiss history and tradition in wheelchair racing a little later on in this interview. She is back. She broke the course record 1:39 last year, and talks about how London is a very technical course, and she is fresh, although may not be the right word, from competing in Boston last Monday in difficult conditions. And I think, Manuela, was that the first time you'd ever dropped out of a race? I mean, it was, anybody who saw the pictures realized how tough it was. How tough was it?
It was the worst conditions I've ever had in a race. And I've been racing a long time. It was just a combination of really, really low temperatures and heavy rain and a really heavy headwind all the way. It just made it impossible for me to finish, and it was heartbreaking because it's the first time that I couldn't finish a race.
Has recovery been quick? Because Boston was Monday. You've had to fly here to London, and now we're talking on Friday before the London Wheelchair Marathon on Sunday. So how do you feel now?
I feel okay. I feel a lot better than Monday, obviously, but I have some muscles, you know, that are pretty bad just from racing in rain. It's always a bit different, but I still have 2 days, so I'm pretty optimistic to recover fully.
Boston is a hilly course for anybody. London, well, certainly not so hilly, but I've heard wheelchair racers talking about it being a technical course, very technical. So give us more insight into what it means for you as an elite wheelchair racer when you say London is a technical course.
It's mostly flat, but there are a lot of turning points where you have to really be able to control your wheelchair, and there are parts that are really bad roads, so it's really bumpy. You have to be careful that you don't get a flat or damage. That's what we call a technical course when there are a lot of turning points.
So I presume you clearly were very pleased with doing 1:39.57 last year. But getting closer to the 1:30 mark, how would you rate your chances this time?
The 1:30 mark is just counts for Boston, I think, because of the downhills. It's A to B course, so we had really great conditions last year with a tailwind and warm conditions. That's why it was possible. On a legal course like here, it's not possible to go under 1:30 for a woman. Not right now. Never say never, right? So, but I still think it could be a fast course. Like 39 is pretty fast for us.
Anybody who the last, well, I suppose 20 years or so has looked at the results in elite wheelchair racing, men as well as women, will see a lot of Swiss flags come up beside them. I mean, yourself, of course, but I'm thinking of Heinz Frey, who's in the veteran category now, but I know Heinz has been winning races all over, Berlin Marathon as well, and indeed the Olympic, the current Olympic men's champion, Marcel Hug, who's also competing here. How come? I mean, okay, does the Swiss Federation put a lot of support into wheelchair racing? How does that come about?
When I had my accident, I was only 9 years old. And at that hospital where I went in Nottwil, there was a big group of wheelchair racers from the really like early generation, like Heinz Frey and Franz Niedlisbach. They helped a lot to develop wheelchair racing. So they improved, you know, seating positions and like just the material and the gear. So I kind of grew into that. When you are in Switzerland and you want to do sports, there's always a possibility that or you almost have to try wheelchair racing. And when you like it, you're included in a big group. I think that helped.
Yeah, I can imagine that togetherness, and also, well, the danger of dealing in stereotypes, but Switzerland, precision, technical precision, efficiency, or am I just dealing in Swiss? I mean, do you see it coming together? I mean, do you think that's a factor? You talk about that technical expertise?
Maybe, but I think it's also because we had those faces like Heinz Frey and Franz Niedlisbach. It always helps to get new or young people to get involved with wheelchair racing if you have like a role model, and we definitely had that. So maybe that helped more than just the, you know, the things you just mentioned.
Well, you certainly have followed that path with a great deal of excellence. Manuela Scher, defending champion in the women's elite wheelchairs. All the best for Sunday in London. Thank you, Manuela.
Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for his interviews this week in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One runner who surely will get a lot of attention in Sunday's London Marathon is Mo Farah, who has won 4 Olympic titles on the track for Britain. Joining us now with more about Mo is my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Mo Farah is the United Kingdom's most successful long-distance runner. In the 2016 Rio Olympics, Farah defended his gold medals for Britain in the 5,000-meter and 10,000-meter events that he won at the 2012 London Games. Well, Mo Farah has returned to London for Sunday's London Marathon. Speaking at a news conference earlier this week, the Somali-born Olympian said he's working to transform himself into a world-class marathon runner.
And a track I've won most medals of, you know, obviously the only thing I haven't done is a world record, I only have one indoor, but I've won most medals. So at the same time, each year to motivate yourself to get up and to go, it's different. You've got to kind of, when things are great, leave it there, find a new challenge. And for me, it's something I always wanted to do, is to run the marathon and to mix in. And I've seen a lot of great athletes gone in from track to marathon. And I believe I can run a decent marathon.
This will be Farah's second London Marathon. In 2014, Farah finished with a time of just over 2 hours, 8 minutes. And he says this year he hopes to finish with a faster time.
I think if everything goes well, if you're strong, if you learn and do stuff, I think I'm capable of running, you know, 204, 203 within the right race and the right pace. But Sunday's race is going to be, it's going to be different, as you know, as many guys who will there to, you know, to fight. So it's going to be a different race.
And Farah says he's looking forward to the 42-kilometer race.
That's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. Not having as much pressure as I do on the track. You know, when I do track, people expect you to win. And now I'm ranked 27th, and there's a lot of guys who can run a lot faster than me. It's a good feeling, but you know, for me, when I turn up, I'm going to give it 110% and see what I can do. My aim is to do the marathon and to learn as much as I can and, you know, mixing with the guys, and that's what I'll do.
Well, he will have plenty of competition in this Sunday's race. Farah, along with competitors Kenenisa Bekele of Ethiopia and Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, have a total of 8 Olympic gold medals and 12 World Championship golds combined. Kenya's Daniel Wanjiru, the winner of last year's race, is also hoping to stand on the podium once again. The London Marathon takes place on Sunday, April 22nd. And Sunday will also mark Earth Day 2018. And as celebrations get underway, another Olympic gold medalist hopes his latest campaign will help preserve the planet. The most decorated Olympian of all time, swimmer Michael Phelps, no longer competes, but he's never far from water. Phelps talked to VOA News about water conservation and what he does at home to preserve the precious resource. Reporter Tina Trin has more.
Michael Phelps is a multitasker.
Even for me, like in the morning, like when I do take a shower, I'm brushing my teeth in the shower.
The most decorated Olympian in history knows a thing or two about saving time. But these days, he's all about saving water.
Water has been such a big part of my life, an important part of my life. And you know, for me, it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to spread the word that we need to conserve as much as we can.
Phelps has partnered with Colgate to promote water conservation through simple everyday techniques like turning off the tap while brushing your teeth.
Did you know that leaving the faucet on while brushing your teeth can waste up to 4 gallons of water? So please turn the faucet off next time you brush.
4 gallons of water. It's like 64 glasses of water. I mean, that right there should be enough where, you know, you can make that change and cut back on your showers or make sure you're turning off the water.
With Earth Day around the corner, Colgate has created a water-activated drain sticker to remind users to conserve. Consumers can also take an online pledge to save water. With 71% of the world's population experiencing moderate to severe water scarcity at least 1 month out of the year, Phelps says small efforts like this can have a global impact.
It's so easy that everybody can do it. So, I mean, I think that's a big, easy step that we can all take, every single one of us.
These days, the father of two is also thinking about future generations.
Being able to have a 2-year-old now, he's kind of picking up on every little small thing that we do. So it's fun to teach them things like this early in their life, because then it allows them to be able to carry it through their life, but also teach other people the importance of conserving water.
It's just one of many lessons the versatile athlete is passing on.
I always have dream, plan, reach. That's my motto. Have a dream, figure out a plan how to get there, and reach for it. If you fall short, go back to the drawing board, figure out a different plan, and try to get there. I mean, anything is possible, and I believe that. You know, I think there were so many people that doubted the things that I was doing, but I believed that I could do it, and I wasn't going to stop until I got it done.
Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Thanks so much, Tina. Earth Day 2018 will be celebrated on Sunday. We observe Earth Day as a reminder of what we can do to keep the Earth healthy and preserve its natural beauty. This year's theme is Ending Plastic Pollution. And as Africa has the highest population growth rate in the world, researchers are working together to find creative solutions to deal with plastic waste throughout the continent. And that wraps up the week. I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good Earth Day weekend, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a happy Earth Day weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the CAF Confederations Cup, where Tanzania's Young Africans and Algeria's USM Aga are among 15 clubs that will accompany Egyptian Premier League side Al Masry in the group stage of CAF Confederations Cup. The CAF Confederations Cup playoff round wrapped up on Wednesday with 12 matches across the continent and featured progress in the group stage for the likes of Aldwana Stars, Enyimba, Al Hilal, Go Mahia and Raja Casablanca. The group stage draw is scheduled to take place tomorrow in Cairo, Egypt. The head of the Democratic Republic of Congo's Football Association, who also serves on World Governing Football Body FIFA, was provisionally released on Wednesday after being held for 21 hours as part of an embezzlement probe. But three others who had been taken into custody with him on Tuesday evening, Sport Ministry Secretary General Bartlemy Okito and two FECOFA Vice Presidents, Roger Bandembe and Theobald Beamungu, will remain in custody until the investigation had been closed. And now to Kenya, where Harambee Stars defender Abuad Omar has been sacked by his club Slavia Sofia after he was accused of insulting his teammates and coaches. The problems had been going on for several months, with the Kenya international accused of also showing disrespect to Bulgaria. And back here in Nigeria, President of Nigeria Football Federation Amaju Pinnick says Super Eagles' preparations for the FIFA World Cup in Russia is on track. Speaking with sports journalists in his Abuja office, Amaju Pinnick reaffirmed the desire of his board to provide the best environment for the team to excel at the global showpiece.
The World Cup is every Nigerian's desire for Nigeria to do very well at the World Cup. In November, when we crossed Nodo, we had a meeting with the team. We sat down with the team. We signed a contract with them.
Staying with football news, former Premier Soccer League general manager and referee Ace Nkumbo has revealed that South African Football Association president Danny Jordan will be out of office by May 31st. Ace Nkumbo, who has called for Danny Jordan to step down, held the second press conference in the space of 1 month at the FNB Stadium as he addressed the media.
The Congress did not take place. So we achieved what we wanted to achieve. But there still remains a risk, because on the 28th of April at that Congress, they want to adopt a resolution to hold an elective Congress on the 19th of May. If we win the battle to have a secret ballot, I can tell you that they will not have a Congress on the 19th of May.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association playoff results Thursday night, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors defeated the host San Antonio Spurs 110-97 to take a commanding 3-0 lead in their series. The Spurs were without head coach Greg Popovich, whose 67-year-old wife, Erin, died Wednesday after a long battle with a respiratory problem. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports send condolences to Coach Popovich and the Spurs. In more NBA playoff results, the Philadelphia 76ers scored a 128-108 road victory over the Miami Heat. Philadelphia now leads that series 2-1. Philadelphia's all-star Cameroonian center, Joel Embiid, wearing a new face mask, made a successful return to the court after missing 10 games with a broken orbital bone near his eye. Embiid scored 23 points, grabbed 7 rebounds, and also blocked 3 shots. And the New Orleans Pelicans beat the Portland Trail Blazers 119-102 to take a 3-0 lead in that series. Nikola Mirotic scored a playoff career best 30 points for the Pelicans to go along with 8 rebounds. And that wraps up the April 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Central African Republic, or CAR, is one of the world's most fragile countries. In 2013, the Muslim Salika Alliance rebelled, seized power, and removed then-President François Bozizé from office. But that was just the beginning of a bad situation, as the Salika Alliance went on a brutal rampage, continuing a campaign of killing, raping, and pillaging non-Muslim villages. In response, the anti-Balaka Christian militias formed and began a similar campaign of terror against Muslim communities. In an effort to protect the civilian population and stabilize the CAR, the United Nations Security Council deployed to the country a United Nations peacekeeping operation, MINUSCA. Zambia is a key partner in several UN peacekeeping efforts. Currently, over 1,000 Zambian troops and police are deployed to 4 different peacekeeping missions, including MINUSCA. Right now, another battalion of Zambian troops is preparing to deploy to the Central African Republic peacekeeping mission. As part of the larger, multi-year U.S. effort to build the capacity of these Zambian military personnel, the United States partnered with India recently to provide Zambian troops with a 2-week course of medical field training. U.S. Army medics partnered with 2 physicians from the Indian Army Medical Corps and worked with Zambian military medical personnel to improve their ability to respond to a range of medical situations and to teach basic first responder skills to soldiers. The 2-week training course was funded by the U.S. Department of State's Global Peace Operations Initiative, or GPOI, and was coordinated through the U.S. Africa Command. It is part of a long-term joint effort between India and the United States to cooperate in peacekeeping capacity building with third world country partners. Peacekeeping missions are a critical tool for promoting reconciliation and post-conflict stabilization in some of the world's most troubled areas. The United Nations currently deploys nearly 100,000 uniformed peacekeepers to promote peace and security while protecting civilians in conflict-affected countries. The United States, through peacekeeping operations and capacity building, supports the purpose and spirit of UN peacekeeping missions. Training events like this are not only integral to improving the readiness of troops for deployment, but also provide an opportunity for India and the United States to share their training techniques and experience with the wider peacekeeping community.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
It's been a long week. You worked hard. Probably need a break. I can help you with that. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and relax, energize, connect with great music and great people from across the African continent. This Sunday's 55-minute program features promising young artists on the rise. There's also music news and a feature song of the week from Ghana this time that will keep you current and hip to what's happening on the continent. So join me this Sunday and the following Saturday at 1505 and 20500 UTC. Music time in Africa. Yeah!
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. What is the U.S. strategy in Syria in the aftermath of the U.S.-led airstrikes to punish the Bashar al-Assad regime for using chemical weapons? And what's behind the protests in Gaza? We'll discuss it all with our Middle East analysts, Hussein Ibish and Gaith Alomari. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.